Maintaining self-control. I have to drive to work across three busy freeways and am terrified by the number of drivers that careen across three lanes of traffic, seemingly oblivious to the flow of cars as they race to get ahead of others. I thank God every time I reach my destination safely, for if it wasn't for him, I likely wouldn't. Why are people so reckless? Why do they take these unnecessary risks? Why can't they slow down and drive safely? As I thought more about this problem, I realized there are some deeper issues at work. Risk takers often have a lack of impulse control. That may be a good trait on the battlefield, but it certainly isn't on the freeways or life. Just ask anyone who's facing a car head-on who chooses to pass on a hill. The outcome is too tragic to mention, as many of us know. However, this behavior can occur in any number of different ways. For instance, have you ever found yourself losing your temper, grabbing for that extra piece of fried chicken or pizza, pressing the snooze button, or going out with friends the night before a big exam? These two are all behaviors that can have negative outcomes. So what do we do with these things? What's in common here? A lack of self-control. Self-control is defined as the ability to manage one's impulses, emotions, and behaviors in order to secure immediate health and safety, as well as long-term goals. Our ability to plan, evaluate our actions, and avoid decisions that we'll regret is what identifies this trait. Some researchers argue that this is an innate ability, whereas others argue that it's learned. Still others suggest that it can weaken throughout the course of the day as situations arise that tax this ability, offering that self-control is a finite personal resource, one that can be poured out like a drink of water. Psychologist Walter Mischel conducted a study in the 70s in which children were left alone in a room with a plate containing a single marshmallow. Those who were able to resist eating that marshmallow for the reward of receiving two in the future were found in later years to be less likely to be overweight or addicted to drugs, more likely to earn advanced degrees, and coped better with stress. His research concluded that self-control was a key factor in their success. One of the ways researchers suggest achieving self-control is through setting SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. Another way may be setting better, healthier goals and then gaining greater confidence in achieving the goals we've set. While others suggest perhaps we can combine this, recognizing and avoiding triggers, passing by that favorite fast food restaurant, or avoiding friends we know will entice us to drink or do drugs. Some researchers suggest setting rewards and routines are helpful methods of establishing better regulatory habits. Whereas these approaches may indeed achieve the success we seek in attaining and maintaining self-control, God always has a better way. The place to start is to realize that He's on our side. He desires that we can control our impulses and our actions. He knows that self-control is not an innate behavior. We aren't born with it, as some researchers have argued. In fact, He knows that we're born with a nature that wants to give in to our desires, wants to get what we want when we want it, without thought to the consequences. It's our human nature to let our impulses control our lives and behavior. The Apostle Paul addresses this with the Romans, saying, "When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and we were dominated by that sinful nature, and thought about the sinful things which controlled our mind." He goes on, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God." He even recognized that having the Ten Commandments wasn't enough to control those impulses. So God did what the law could not do, Paul says. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. But Jesus, he didn't just show us that restraint and resistance is possible. He gave us what the world couldn't to fight those temptations. He gave us the Holy Spirit, our seal of redemption, the one living within us to overcome the challenge to give in to our impulses. As Paul writes, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. We are no longer the old person, weak and ineffectual, unable to resist and lacking the strength to say no to the old way, the old path, the old choices. Paul tells us anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. But beloved, it isn't just as simple as putting on new clothes. We can't simply say, now we're in Christ and we'll never do the things we did before, or promise ourselves that we'll never give in to impulses as we did before we came to Christ. All of us realize that we still have to make daily, maybe even moment by moment, decisions to think and act as Christ would have us. Unfortunately, we can silence the Holy Spirit. We can restrain him from helping us make the right choices. We are still agents of free will. Paul warned the Corinthian church, they are still controlled by their sinful nature. They are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. And doesn't that prove that they are controlled by their sinful nature? Aren't they living like people of the world, he told them? And that's why after he outlined the spiritual gifts, he promised a way of life that is best of all and showed them the way of love, a way that is patient and kind, not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude, not demanding or irritable or unforgiving. Rather, he said that love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. In fact, when he wrote the Galatian church explaining how to live by the Spirit's power, he included the 9 fruit of the Spirit. He started with love and he concluded with self-control, which suggests that they work together to accomplish the will of God in our lives. He elucidates this when he exhorts the Galatians to let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, warning that the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, he says, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but God's will. How then do we live in love and with self-control? Well, he tells them, by nailing the passions and desires of our sinful nature on the cross, living by the Spirit and following the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Does God think this is simple? Absolutely not. He knows we will face temptations and struggle with wanting to do what our flesh wants. And that's why we have to let Christ's love control us. Believing that as Christ died for all, we also have died to our own old life. We can't achieve self-control through programs or personal willpower. We have to prepare our minds for action and exercise self-control, putting all our hope in the gracious salvation coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. In that moment, beloved, we need to take a breath, pray, refocus, review, rehearse, and renew. And we do this with his strength. It is by his divine power that God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, giving us great and precious promises that enable us to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. We have to let the Holy Spirit have full reign in our lives. If we surrender to our old nature, our physical passions will rule over us, our tongue will get out of control, our anger will spill out, and we will remain unforgiving and vengeful. But by the power of the Holy Spirit living us, we aren't that kind of person anymore. We are God's chosen people, his own possession, living in his light and not under the world's control. So therefore, we can supplement our faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love for everyone. Just as love guides self-control, self-control ensures love prevails. It is only through Christ that we can gain self-control in every area of our lives and live in the freedom and the joy that God has called us to. Isn't that worth the surrender to find such peace? God bless you, beloved. God bless you.